Well, today we're continuing in this journey, Accept No Mediocre Marriage, and we're going to talk about your favorite subject, how to get all the great sex you can handle, right? It is amazing that in the church in America, we talk about a lot of things except the things that sometimes really matter. We hardly ever talk about money except to beat people up over it, and we hardly ever talk about sex, in other words, just to prohibit it or condemn it. I want to tell you this morning, sex is a good thing. Sex is a God thing. He has given it to us as a gift. It is a powerful tool of joy and creation, and we need to handle it well. Let's begin at one of the best verses in the scripture about marriage. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Let's say that together. Husbands, love your wives. All, just the women? Husbands,
love your wives.
That's pitiful. I mean, that's just terrible. There's no passion. Husbands, love your wives. All right, come on. Passion, ladies. Come on. Ready? Husbands, love your wives. Yeah, love your wives. You know what I'm saying? I mean love. I don't mean just love. I don't mean sister-in-law love and kissy-kissy, your aunt with a mustache love. I'm talking about take her in your arms, turn her over and give her a big kiss. Love her. And then live like you love her every day for the rest of your life. Where there is love, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What did he do? He sacrificed himself for our redemption. He sacrificed to create a new community and to bring us in relationship, not just with him, but with each other. We're supporting and loving and helping each other on this journey. Being married by yourself sucks. It's pretty much impossible. We need each other going down this same road together. Where there is love, there is sacrifice. Where there is great love, there is great sacrifice. Say that with me. Where there is love, there is sacrifice. Where there is great love, there is great sacrifice. Anything that has power, great power, has innate with it the power for its abuse. Wouldn't you agree? So let's talk about this powerful gift God has given us called sex. I know the best way, I mean, we could be here for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, couldn't we? But you'd be by yourself because this is the only one you're getting from me. for a while at least. So I thought the best thing to do is just talk about the myth, the mythology that has grown up around this four-letter word called sex, right? That's what it is to us, isn't it? It's kind of dirty. Sex, for example, in a lot of people's minds, is an uncontrollable urge. You just got to do it. You just can't help yourself. We're in love. No, you're not. You're in lust. There's a big difference between being in lust and being in love. Wouldn't you agree? What did Jesus say? You heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I want to raise the bar. Anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, I've actually heard grown men say this out loud in public. Well, if you do it in your heart, you might as well go ahead and do it. No, stupid idiot. Come on, get a brain. Wake up. Get off the sauce. That's not what he said at all. But he did raise the bar, didn't he? That sex is something that can be handled and controlled. It is not just some wild, animalistic thing. Let me just tell you something that you may or may not know. I've had to learn this over the years, and it's a good thing to learn. I said this earlier in this journey, but let me say it again. Attention creates desire. I thought about bringing an apple with me. I thought about bringing something as an illustration, but I couldn't think of anything that someone couldn't twist and make fun of, especially as it relates to sex. So I just decided to go it alone. But let's just say I had an apple in my hand. All of us understand that an apple has to have something that comes before it to be an apple, and that's a tree. Everybody get that? No tree, no apple. And it's got to be an apple tree, not just a tree, but an apple tree, right? For sex to happen, something has to come before it. Not just anything, but attention. Attention creates desire. In marriage, non-sexual attention leads to sexual affection. Guys pretty much are on go all the time, I will admit. But that's not how it works. You're not like the little puppy. Can I, please, 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 please. No, no, no. You're not a puppy. You're a man, right? Yeah. And sex is not some uncontrollable thing that lives in our emotions or somewhere deep in the animal, uncontrollable part of us. It is something that we have control over, or Jesus wouldn't have set that bar high. As a matter of fact, if you study on into the New Testament, particularly in the epistles, you'll find that there's instruction on how men are to treat women. If you're married, you already know what that is. Husbands, love your wives, right? If you're other women who are in your age bracket that you're not married to, you're to treat as your sister. Older women, you're to treat as a mother. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? Any woman around you, basically your age, is not your wife, you need to treat her with, at a distance, like a sister. An older woman as a mother. So we're told and taught all the way through the scripture how we are to relate. Said another way, sex begins not in the bedroom, but in the kitchen with attention. The more non-sexual attention you pay to each other, the more you ultimately create sexual affection. Attention before affection. Amen? Amen, ladies, anybody? I'm saying it for you, dead gummit, doggone it. At least agree with me. It's what you think. It's what you're telling him. Hey, listen, no, don't come in here and act like some brute. Get away, you big old animal, you stinky thing, you. Right? So, myth number one, sex is an uncontrollable urge. Myth number two, sex is at its best when it's dirty. It's got to be a little naughty. We talk about, we don't say sex, we go, sex. I mean, have you ever not been able to sleep at night, turn on the TV and watch what's on there? All the little products and the health aids and the little curly cues and all that stuff. Fill in the blank if you want to. Because sex is dirty. It's done in the dark. It's whispered. We don't talk about it in public. Nice people don't discuss it. We just do it. Right? Flee sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own what? This is 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, before we had a thing called STDs. Now that's not STP, that's an engine additive. What's an STD? Sexually transmitted disease. They can kill you. They can leave you sterile. They can rob you of life. Our bodies were not made to be traded around. One man, one woman, one lifetime. This is how God made us. This is how we are made in our physiology. This isn't just some religious idea. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Now, if you are not a believer, this does not apply to you, so just give me about 45 seconds. If you are a believer, listen, lean in. My brother or my sister, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. The reference is our sexuality. So in the practice, in the exercise, in the engagement of our sexuality, we can do it in such a way that our body honors God. So sex isn't something best dirty. It is sacred. It is good. One man, one woman in marriage for a lifetime, better and better all the time, frisky till we die. Right? I mean, with Viagra and all this other stuff, praise Jesus for narcotics. For some, sex is not best dirty, it's just dirty. It just is. And yet, listen to the scriptures. Genesis 1. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, or in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful. Now, that's have sex, right? Come on. No, that's not what that says. Yes, it's exactly what it says. Be fruitful and increase. How are you going to have babies if you don't have sex? Sex comes before babies. Do you not know this? What are they teaching you in school these days? Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the ground. Now, if sex were dirty, why would God create us in his image and give us the power to join him in creation? It's not dirty. It's a beautiful thing. Out of which come children. Amen? Children are good. Right? Children are very good. They're going to be the ones who determine what nursing home you go to. You better think they're good. Good, good. Paul and I have had three girls who are now young women, and it's good. It's a good thing. We've been fruitful. We've multiplied. And now we got boys coming around, and that's good, and that multiplies. And yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, this is how God created us, right? This is how God sustains society and builds a good world, where he has a man who loves his woman, and out of that comes children, and those children are raised to love God and love each other and love their parents and make something of their lives, and they increase and they multiply, and big, good homes and strong homes and godly homes create a better society. It is not government. It is not the White House we need to be praying for, ladies and gentlemen. It's our house. Amen? Yeah, clap. Absolutely. I'll take it, man. I'll take it. My dog looked at me this morning and said, I feel sorry for you having to talk about sex in church. I'll be praying for you. That's how tough it is. All right, so let's just be honest. Sex is not some emotional, animalistic urge that we can't control. It's not better, dirty, and it's not dirty. Here's another one. Now, again, some of you are going to think I'm a liar, but I've been a man for 56 years. And I'm a man. You know what I'm saying? I eat meat. I'm not no girly man. I eat meat, and I'm proud of it. Yeah, I'll be dying of something sophisticated, ardplasty cardio infarction something, but I'll be better than some of you in the hospital dying from nothing. He's totally healthy, but he's dying. Yep, that's right. It's once appointed unto man to die. I'm just going to die well fed. Can I hear an amen? So here's another myth. Sex is all men think about. Not true. We think about motorcycles and football. Two. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn how to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Right? Holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong. In other words, you don't have sex with your buddy, friend, anyone's wife but yours. The Lord will punish men for these sins, as we have already told you and warned you, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction doesn't reject David Foster. He rejects the God who created him and will hold him accountable. Amen. Sex is not all men think about. Men are much more complex than just that thing. But here is the 21st century man. If you look to TV and magazines, the 21st century man is a sex-crazed, porn-addicted, knuckle-dragging, beer-guzzling buffoon. He is a self-absorbed, shallow, weak-souled man who seeks nothing but his next sexual conquest and wants nothing but to be left alone to indulge his lower urges as he surfs the net at night for his next exotic thrill so he can make love to himself in the dark, slumped over a computer monitor. And yes, I wrote that. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. It is not true. It is what a lot of men accept because they don't know any better. They haven't been given a higher vision of their maleness. Listen, one of the highest privileges of what it means to be a man is to woo, wow, and win the love of a good woman. Amen. You ain't lived, brother, until you have wooed, wowed, and won a woman that you look at and go, oh, my Lord, that's a woman. Amen? Amen. We are a lot more complex. Men are not just sexual machines. They just got to have it or they just go crazy. We were crazy before we ever had sex. So crazy is not our problem. I mean, sex is not our problem, right? We're men of honor. We're men of truth. We're men of integrity. We know how to love a woman. We know how to love our children, to support them, care about them. And we know how to help our brothers. We are into this iron sharpening iron things. We understand that our bodies are not our own, that we can glorify God, that our money, our time, our bodies, our affections all belong to God. That's why we tithe and give and serve and do. Not because we have to go to heaven, because this is the man that we are. Men of God, proud to love a woman. And all God's people said, amen. All right, since we're having such a good time, let's go to the next one. I only got 45 more minutes left. Gee, thing is slow. All right, here, let's just go. Let's get a little, have a little more fun. Sex, this is another myth. Sex is optional in marriage. Here is the statistical reality of marriage in America. We are having all kinds of sex before we get married and almost no sex after we get married. Statistically, this is true. When I talk to a guy, one of the first things I'll ask him, are you talking? No. Are you having sex? No. Now, let me say this and try to explain it or defend it. If you ain't having sex, dude, you ain't married. The civil contract of marriage in America, that contract recognizes three things. Family, next of kin, you are one. Financial unity and sexual fidelity. That's a civil contract. Has nothing to do with the idea of covenant, just the contract. So in marriage, sex is not optional. So where'd you get that? I made it up just because it sounds good. No, here it is. The husband should fulfill his marital duty. What is that? To have sex with his wife. There it is. Likewise, the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone. We don't have the right to make love to ourselves. Do I need to use the word? I don't think I do. I think everybody understands what I'm saying. Is inside of marriage, my part of my marital duty is to love my wife physically. Do not deprive each other of sexual relation, except by mutual consent for a time so that you may devote yourself to practice. Can't read that without laughing. Hey, Paul, me and you, we're going to stay apart. We're just going to be praying. Y'all pray over there and I'll pray over here. Matter of fact, let's pray in different houses. You want to? Let's just don't be together and pray. And if, I know that's not funny, Lord. Please forgive me. But I'm not having sex or praying. I bet there are not a lot of us in this room committing that sin. Then come back together so that Satan will not tempt you for lack of self-control. I mean, some of us think that the Bible is, you know, is just out of touch. Really? I mean, again, this was written 2,000 years ago. Are we any different than we were? And the answer, of course, is not a bit. These issues are issues we deal with constantly, right? Yeah, you deal with it constantly. Even in marriage, we have schedules, we have kids, we have energy drain, we have emotional ups and downs. Again, We have been trained by Hollywood, have we not? That marriage, you know, that sex and marriage is like, okay, I'm coming in, I'm in the house, and I'm getting ready to leave and go somewhere. And Paula is, you know, crosses the room, and she's got a big load of laundry, and she looks at me with her laundry, and I look at me with my keys, and our eyes meet. Whoa! She drops the laundry, I fling the keys, and we meet together in a passionate embrace in the middle of the living room floor. And we go for it. Yeah, man, that's how it's supposed to be. Eye lock, lip lock, and there we go, right? That is not the way it is. And anybody who tells you it is in their marriage will lie to you about other things. Do not invest money with these people. Come on. Am I telling the truth? Telling the truth. So let's just talk about the last one. That sex is a loveless obligation. I know some of you ladies already, when you read that, said, "Well, great. More ammunition. Thanks a lot, Dave." Well, I didn't write the book, did I? No. Sex is not a loveless obligation. I started this talk by the greatest, strongest admonition the scripture has to a man toward his wife. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Sacrifice for your wives. Be men of high nobility, character, and integrity. Be faithful men to your wives. And if you do that, if you give her attention and affection, she'll give you her heart and soul and body. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in public places? Question. Let them be yours alone. Never be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her blanks. More than one. Satisfy you always, and may you ever be, is that not an amazing word? Captivated with her love. When I see Paula, I'm captivated by her love. I love her. I am all in with her. And sex is not some loveless obligation. We're to be excited. We're to be emotional and be like little kids again. So here's the truth, though. Here are three rules for super sex. This is worth the whole admission right here. One, we keep it current. Now, if you have been married longer than 6 months and you're going to have sex, you're going to have to write this down. Schedule it. What you doing Tuesday around 2:15, sugar babe? It won't take long. Can I fit you in the schedule? Again, we want this, you know, we passed each other on the interstate. We met each other in the Kroger parking lot and made out. No. The only people making out in the Kroger parking lot are the people who are committing adultery or close to it. That's what we think, isn't it? Kind of naughty, kind of dirty. No. Listen, in marriage, keep your sex current. If you are not having sex, you are not married. You say, someone said, well, Dave said we weren't married. You know what I mean. Don't twist my words. I'll come and find you. If you are not talking, something is wrong. Can I hear an amen? And if you're not having mutually consensual, beneficial, blessed, happy sex on a schedule. And don't sit there and laugh at me. Well, I can't do it on a schedule. Oh, well, try it one time and see how you like it. I guarantee you guys can do it on a schedule. We're just like puppies. You know, you feed us at the same time in the same place, we'll show up. And our tails will be wagging, won't they, fellas? Woo! All right. Almost done. Thank you, Lord. Here's the second. We keep it fun. We keep it fun. You remember fun? Remember when life was fun? Remember when you dated and it was fun? Why do we give up fun? Why do we hand it over and say, well, once you get married and once you have sex for a while and you have some kids, you know, it's just kind of, you know, really? Really? What drugs are you on? I'm here to tell you that marriage gets better and better and better and better and better over time. Amen? It does. The love gets better. The love gets richer. The love gets deeper. Because over time, you learn how to love each other well through the ups and the downs, through the tragedies, through the sicknesses, through the births and the measles and the broken bones and all the things that you go through as a couple. Amen? Keep it fun. Is it any fun? How do you keep it fun? Do you really need me to help you with that? How about a different place? I don't know. Trust me, I got some ideas. I'm not sure you want... Paula wants me just to give away our secrets. What are you doing? You're laughing, aren't you? When you're laughing, you're having fun. Amen? If there's no laughter and no joy inside your home, that's a telltale sign that you need to do some work. Because I want to tell you something. Getting up every day for the rest of your life and looking at the same person and not feeling your heart leap is not an experience you want to give up for anyone or anything. It is the greatest thing in the whole world. You keep it current, keep it fun, and we keep it exclusive. Exclusive. One man, one woman, one lifetime. Right? Her and her alone. And I hear people say all the time, well, you know what? The thought of having sex with the same woman for the rest of your life is, you know, boring. No, that's a lie. That's not true. The best sex is not naughty sex. Paul and I have dealt with couples for years and years and years. Almost all premarital sex, you know what it is? A lot of phone calls and a little bad sex. That's why most people who have affairs get caught, because they leave a paper trail or a Facebook trail or an email trail. Huh? Little naughtiness running around. Listen, loving the same person well over time is a great honor and privilege. Do you really think God would create us, go to all of the trouble that he has to redeem us and then set our lives up for failure? Do you think that everything that has a great power to bless us also has the opposite power to harm us? Right? Money. Money's a good thing. And the right attitude, money can be a God thing. But we also know that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. We've seen the desperation and the devastation. Sex is the same way. In marriage, one man turned toward his wife, mutually loving each other with all their heart and all their soul, loving themselves emotionally, physically, mentally, having children, raising those children to love God and love each other. This is how the world moves forward. This is God's economy. And you ought to be a part of it. Now, what if you have failed in some of these areas? We're going to finish this journey next week with the four things that will keep you out of divorce court. And then we're going to be done. I know some of you are tired of the whole marriage thing. I'm not, but we'll move on. But if you here this morning have been, you're laughing, but you're kind of a little ding here and there. It is never, 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 never too late to turn it around. Do you believe that? It's never too late to fall back in love again. It's never too late to redeem your relationship. It's never too late to look at the past and say, that's the past. With God's grace and by His help, we're going to create a beautiful future. One that honors God and one that honors our love. Amen? I want to tell you something. At the end of the day, when I'm done, I want to be able to look into the eyes of the best person I've ever known and say, I have been at times a turd. Let's just call it what it is. If we're going to say breasts in church, we can say turd in church, right? I may have been stupid, but I can look at my wife today and say, there has never been, and my daughters can hear this, there has never been one day, not one moment, that my wife has not had my heart and my body. Let's pray. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you will use the truth to set us free. To set us free from the addictions that we're in and the behaviors that we're hiding. The intimacy that we are starving for but can never have. I pray that you will turn the heart of every man, every husband in this room toward his wife. I pray for every guy who's seeking a good woman that you will give them the courage and the strength to be honorable, to be bold, to go out and find, to wow, woo, and win the heart of a good, godly, confident, kick-butt woman. In Jesus' name, amen. Go get them.